In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. I thought I'd do something a little bit different this morning. I'm just going to relate briefly the lives of a couple saints, one from yesterday, one from tomorrow. The saints, although their lives aren't exactly the way ours are, they went through many similar things, and there's always something interesting to learn, something edifying. In today's gospel, our Lord speaks about the faith being a grain of mustard seed that grows into a huge bush. The saint of yesterday is Saint Gregory the Wonder Worker, feast on 17th of November. He lived way back in the early years of the church. He died in the year 270. In his young years, he grew up as a pagan. But he was a very gifted young man, and so his parents wanted him to have a good education. They sent him to good schools. He learned Latin. He learned law. He went with his sister to the Holy Land, although he was still a pagan, to attend a law school there. But meeting the great man called Origen, he became his student and learned to love virtue and truth. One day when he was talking with some of his fellow students, some of the other students at this time had become very jealous of young Gregory, jealous of his virtue, and so they prompted a prostitute to go up to him in the middle of his conversation with his friends, and she demanded from him the money that she said he owed her. Now, as you can imagine, this is a very shocking thing. Some of his friends didn't believe it right away, knowing his virtue. But the young man, Gregory, didn't become very upset. He simply told one of his friends to give her what she wanted so that they could continue their conversation and she would leave. Well, his friend did that, which caused some of his other friends to think he was actually guilty of the sin. But God proved that he wasn't by the fact that when this woman had received the money, she immediately fell down onto the ground and an evil spirit took hold of her and she started frothing at the mouth and ripping her own hair out. Well, St. Gregory had pity on her and prayed for her and she was delivered from the evil spirit. When he finished school, he went back home. He had a considerable reputation already at that time for learning, but he fled into the desert. However, some people followed him. They wanted him to make him a bishop, so eventually he gave in to that. He became a bishop, was sent to a town called Neo Caesarea. It was a very pagan town. He said when he arrived there, the city, there were 17 Christians. And when he died as bishop of that city years later, he said there were only 17 pagans left. All the rest had converted. They converted by his preaching and also by his works, by his sometimes very astounding miracles. There's a story of him when he was out on a journey, being caught in a thunderstorm, had to take shelter in a pagan temple. It was the only thing around that would shelter him from the storm. So he and his companion went in there. He made the sign of the cross in the air several times. And they spent the remainder of the evening and night there, saying their prayers, taking their rest. This particular temple was renowned the country around for being a place of where the evil spirits came and spoke to the pagan priests. After the saint left, the pagan priest the next day tried to do his normal pagan rites, but the evil spirits in the place told him that they had to leave. That the man who was there the night before, because of him, they couldn't stand to stay any longer. Well, the pagan priest got upset about this, of course. He couldn't speak to his evil spirits anymore, so he ran after St. Gregory. He caught up with him, and he started threatening him that if he didn't change something, he would go to the magistrates and the civil authorities. Well, St. Gregory didn't care. He was not flustered at all. He simply told the man, "My God, the true God whom I serve can make the evil spirits flee or can make them come as he wishes." And this kind of intrigued the man, and he said, he asked, "Well, would you send them back into my temple?" And St. Gregory said, "Okay." And he wrote on a little piece of paper, "Gregory to Satan, enter." And he gave the paper to the man. And the pagan priest went back to the temple. And sure enough, the next time he tried his rites, the evil spirits were there speaking to him again. And this so astonished him that his gods were totally obedient to the God that Gregory honored and served, that he went back to Gregory and he told him he wanted to learn about his God. And he converted and actually became a deacon in the church. Very interesting story. A couple other things that St. Gregory did were, one time when they were building a church, there was not enough room on the property because of the hillside. Part of the mountain was sticking out, blocking the area that needed to be used to build a church. They didn't have bulldozers back then. He moved the mountain, part of the mountain at least, so that there was enough room for the church to be built. We might say, "Well, that sounds ridiculous," but it happened. It's a fact. Our Lord said, "You know, greater signs than the ones I'm doing, you can do." And St. Gregory was one who proved that. The city that he lived in had problems with flooding. There was a river that flowed through, and very often the parts of the city would be flooded by the river. So he put his staff down by the riverbank, he fixed it into the ground, and prayed fervently that it wouldn't flood anymore, and it never did. It never went beyond his staff after that, and the staff eventually grew and became a large tree. Another interesting story in his life about a time when he was out traveling again in the countryside. A couple young men saw him coming. They knew who he was. They knew he was a charitable bishop. They thought they would take advantage of that, play a trick on him, get some money from him or something. So one of them pretended he was dead and laid down in the street. And the other one started grieving over his, quote, deceased friend. And then when Bishop Gregory came by, he, amidst his tears, asked him if he could possibly help him out with the funeral expenses of his friend. Well, the bishop gave him his coat, took the coat and put it upon the man laying in the street. That was his donation. So he went off, and then after he was out of sight and out of hearing, the young man started laughing at how he had fooled the bishop. He motioned to his friend to get up, but he found his friend really was dead. Another story about the bishop who intervened between some bickering brothers. He also was a very learned man, as I said, and knew his law well, so he would intervene in tough cases at court. However, whatever he said to these two brothers could not reconcile them. They were arguing about the inheritance that they had received There was a certain lake that they claimed both belonged to them. Nothing could bring peace between them until they were drawing up their arms and whatever was available. The next day they planned to fight it out in the field and see who would win. Well, Bishop Gregory decided that he'd spend all night praying there to save this situation. And in the morning, after he had prayed, the lake had turned into dry land. And obviously there was no problem anymore. When the persecution broke out in his town, he advised his flock to flee. He said, "Flee and save your souls, rather than face the fierce tortures and the real dangers of losing your faith." And he himself withdrew into the desert as well. He stayed there for a year or two, and then when the persecution was over, he came back. There were pagan peoples at this time that were coming from the north and overrunning the land, plundering and burning. And St. Gregory had to be firm with certain Christians who, because they had been plundered others in their turn, or purchased the stolen booty from these infidels. He said to them, some deceive themselves in keeping what belongs to others because they found it in place of their own. And he said, thus, because infidels show hostility against them, these people in turn act like infidels towards others. He was speaking about Christians. He died on November 17th in the year 270. A lot of interesting stories there. I think some little lessons we can learn. Just briefly now, a little bit about the saint of tomorrow, who is Saint Elizabeth of Hungary. She was born in 1207, the daughter of the King of Hungary. She was promised in marriage already as an infant to a certain prince. And because this marriage was set up from the very birth of the young man, she was sent at the tender age of 4 to live on that estate in a totally different country and be brought up there. From her youth, it is said that she did not know any use for money except to give it to the poor. Even as a young girl, many became jealous of her virtue and started spreading rumors and lies about her. She had to deal with that most of her life. Her future husband returned from his education when she was about 14 years old. He heard these things about her that were going around, this talk. But he saw how virtuous she was, and he said he prized her virtue above mountains of gold. And so they were married, and for a while the rumors stopped. She spent a lot of her time in prayer and reading, and of course worked a lot of charitable works among the poor. She spun wool for the use of the poor and for the friars who lived in the town. She was very strict and mortified in her diet. She would only eat certain things. She wouldn't eat the savory dishes that were served at the big meals, the royal meals. But she would distract the attention of others so that they wouldn't notice she wasn't eating. So she would do things like initiate lively conversation and carve the meat for other people, send her maids out on errands here and there, change plates often. She did all kinds of things in hopes that people wouldn't notice she wasn't eating the same food or as much food as anyone else was. She did not like the rich clothes and the pomp of the court that she lived in, but she would make use of it sometimes at her husband's request on public occasions. When her husband wasn't around, she would wear the clothing of the poor, a coarse wool. She had very good influence on the maids who served her, and several of them began to imitate her virtues. However, it was difficult for them to do the kind of things that she did. She would go down amongst the poor and the sick of the town, cheerfully wash and clean their filthy sores, and help them in that manner. During a year of famine, she gave away the entire crop of grain that they had at the royal castle and emptied the treasury when her husband was away. When he came back, others complained to him what she had done. She gave everything away. And he asked them if she had given away his lands. They said no. And he said, "As for her charities, they will bring upon us divine blessings. We shall not want so long as we allow her to relieve the poor as she does." As you can see, her husband was an awesome man. She built a little hospital down below in the town because she lived up on a castle, really a cliff. And so the weak and the sick couldn't get up there. So she built a little hospital down at the bottom of the hill. Besides that, every day she would feed 900 people who would come to the gates of the castle. Those who could work, she employed, realizing that just to give them a handout would not be for their true good. But she employed them in some manner. Her husband approved everything that she did and imitated her also in many ways. They had three children together before he joined the crusade to fight for the Holy Land. In the crusade, he became very ill in the journey. He died in the Holy Land. And it's said that many miracles were accomplished through his intercession in the Crusades. Hearing the news of his death, she wept bitterly and said, "If my husband be dead, I promise to die henceforth to myself and to the world with all its vanities." Once more, at the death of her husband, the envies and the jealousies and the rumors broke loose against her. Eventually, it came to the point where her brother-in-law took possession of the domains and the castle and kicked her out. He had also stirred up such fear of anyone opposing him that no one in town would receive her into their houses. She went then to the common inn. At midnight, she went to matins at the Franciscan church and asked the friars there to sing the Te Deum, which is a hymn of thanksgiving, to thank God for his mercies in visiting her with difficulties and afflictions. Soon one of her powerful relatives heard of her strife, advised her to go to her uncle, who was a bishop of Bamberg. He received her and took care of her, and while she was there, lo and behold, the procession, the funeral procession, making its way back to her town carrying the body of her husband, arrived. Of course, this was another sadness. She wept anew all over again, and she decided to accompany the princes and dukes who were going with the funeral procession back to her home. Of course, these men became outraged when they heard that she had been thrown out and that her brother-in-law had taken over. But she took care to moderate their resentment towards him, blaming it on his advisors and not him, and to beg that these men use simply grave words in obtaining back her rights for her. They did so, and she was restored to the castle. Towards the end of her life, she moved into a little cottage where she could serve the poor better and spent the rest of her days in spiritual and corporal works of mercy. She died on the 19th of November, 1231. It seems like what I've said was a whole lifetime. She only lived to be 24. So just a couple lives of a couple saints, one from feast day was yesterday, one whose feast day is tomorrow. Not everything in the saints we can imitate, but certainly they can inspire us, and we can do things similar to them, if not exactly the same, in our own way. Let's imitate the beautiful charity shown by these saints, charity towards others, in however form that may take. Let's remember that our faith is a living faith and that it's shown through charity. And without charity, the faith also dies. Let's pray to these saints for an increase of that charity. The Father and the Son, the Holy Ghost, Amen.